Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program for today. This is Tom Harris speaking to you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Very many thanks to Chris Reardon for preceding me on the station today. And who is Sean Harris, incidentally? I know that there's a Sean Riches who works for us here at United Kingdom Radio, and Sean Riches will be following me at 5 o'clock. And then he has a bonus show tonight, I think starting at 7 to 8 p.m. here on United Kingdom Radio. Now, this is a weird week because this week I'm starting an hour later. Not to you folks in the U.K., it's not an hour later. But to me, it's an hour later because the time change has happened in the UK, but it hasn't happened here in the United States yet. So that will happen actually at 2 a.m. tonight. We will fall back an hour, and then we'll once again be 6 hours behind you folks in the UK. But as it happens, it is actually now 11 a.m. here in Chicago, Illinois. And I usually will advertise that I'm on at 10 a.m. in Chicago, Illinois, but that not this week. So anyway, for those of you who have been listening to the show, we are still trying to work out some of the timing stuff in the show. In the delay between the signal here in the U.S. and the U.K. is about 2 minutes, and so I'm still trying to get it right. Now, the last week you may have noticed that we kind of just got cut off. The news just kind of came on and cut us off. I was speaking with Bob, I don't know, also known as Fagash Lil. And we just kind of got cut off without any warning. And that was all my fault. I take complete responsibility. It was all my fault. Every bit of it was my fault. And what happened was I was so interested in the conversation that I completely lost track of time. Now, if that happens in the future and I am cut off in the show at the very end, you can actually still hear that content. And the reason why that is because, you know, Chris is recording this show on his side of things. But I am also recording the show on this side of things. And what I do is after the show, I do some judicious edits, usually not, you know, just the beginning and ending sort of bumper music that we have, you know, for the news and so forth. I take all that out. And then I upload the file to my website, which is TomHarrisUSA.com. So if you want to hear that last like 2 or 3 minutes of the show from last week, you could go there and download the podcast and listen to the end of the show. So again, it's all my fault. I completely dropped the ball there. But these things happen from time to time. Anyway, we have an action-packed show for you today. But before I get started, I want to play this week's Tribond, which is actually the same as last week's Tribond. Well, nobody even guessed last week. Anyway, this is this week's Tribond.
Tribond, what do these three things have in common? John Crawl, Ozzie Smith, the Illinois State Bird.
All right, so that was Tribond for this week. If you know what those three things have in common, you can Skype. You can send a message over on Skype, or indeed you can call in on Skype. It's all the same to me. And let us know what those three things have in common. All right, so have an interesting topic this week, I think. And that is the topic of how we perceive other cultures. Now, what started this conversation? I'll be quite honest with you. What started this conversation was my conversation that I had over the last week with another radio presenter, Mr. Tommy Boyd. Now, I've talked about this a bit on the last show, and I kind of went on and on about it. So I'm not going to do that this time. But I will tell you that after several days of providing references and providing information to Tommy, I was actually able to convince him that his position was not correct. And he was, you know, he said, okay, here's all this evidence that the story is wrong. So, you know, you've convinced me. And that's kind of where it all ended. But, guess you could say, everybody is capable of learning from their mistakes. Now, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about this idea of being how we perceive other cultures. How do we develop our viewpoints of other cultures? Now, obviously, the only way that we can become educated about somewhere else in the world where we've never been is either through the media or through our own research. Now, you all know me, and I'm a big fan of doing my own research. I love to, in fact, I found a mistake today in history. And it's like, that's not right. And I actually went and researched it, and all in about 2 or 3 minutes was able to determine the facts of the matter. And well, I'll get to that in a few, because it's a kind of an interesting thing. But I'm going to read to you a poem here. And this is a poem that was often read to me back when I was about 2 or 3 years old. This was my mother's favorite poem to read to me when I was a little boy. And, excuse me for a moment. Okay, sorry about that. Sorry, I was being distracted. That's very unprofessional of me. But it does happen from time to time. But so I'm going to go ahead and read this now. And then we'll kind of have a little chat about this. But just give me a second to clear my throat here. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Here's the poem. This is written by Robert Louis Stevenson, who lived from 1850 to 1894. The book that this comes from is A Child's Garden of Verses and Underwoods. This particular edition came out in 1913. And the name of the poem is Foreign Children. Little Indian, Sioux or Crow, little frosty Eskimo, little Turk or Japanese, oh, don't you wish that you were me? You have seen the scarlet trees and the lions overseas. You have eaten ostrich eggs and turned the turtles off their legs. Such a life is very fine, but it's not so nice as mine. You must often, as you trod, have wearied not to be abroad. You have curious things to eat. I am fed on proper meat. You must dwell beyond the foam, but I am safe and live at home. Little Indian, Sioux or Crow, little frosty Eskimo, little Turk or Japanese, oh, don't you wish that you were me? Looking at, you know, at the time when I was a kid, I guess I could only see it from the viewpoint of being somebody who had not experienced anything. As a child, of course, you're very impressionable. So my first impression of children in other countries was largely informed by this. Now, obviously, Robert Louis Stevenson, he was writing in a different time. Back in this colonial period, and Britain ruled, you know, what, a third of the world? And today I look at this verse and I think, God, how condescending this is. You know, in today's society, we have a lot more information about the world. And, you know, something like this being written today wouldn't go over. It would be absolutely people would say, oh, that's not very politically correct. Now I talked about political correctness on this show a while ago. Ooh, Bob, I don't know. Yes, you're correct. I'll get to that in a second. What was I saying now? Oh, yeah. I was talking a little bit about political correctness on the show a few shows ago now. I think it was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I mentioned that there's a difference between political correctness and political ignorance. And there's also a difference between political correctness and being respectful of people who hold a different view from you. And that was sort of the gist of the conversation. And it goes the same in these sort of cultural ideas where you kind of have these misconceptions about other cultures based on hearsay or something like this. This is, you know, charming little poem. And face it, it's a very well-written little poem. Nothing really wrong with it, I suppose. I wouldn't read it to a child today. Because it, sort of gives the impression, oh, well, you know, you're silly foreigners, you know, you might love your life, but my life is much better than yours. And that just doesn't really fly in a modern society where we have the mass media. We can actually see firsthand. And this kind of takes me back a little bit to the conversation that I had with Mr. Boyd, where he was just kind of repeating something that he'd heard, hadn't really looked into it himself. And I talked a little bit about that last time. Not going to go into all that again. Why would I? But I think that at some point, one takes responsibility for one's education and kind of get a sense that we don't have an exalted place in the world. Every culture exists in its own little box. And I don't say that as a being separate, you know, but in order to understand a culture, you have to understand it in context. And the only way to do that is by educating yourself or being educated. I mean, obviously, you can listen to a show like this one, though I make no claims to be an educator, folks. But the other way to do it, and this is the way that I recommend the highest, is to actually go there. Live there among the people. Experience their culture firsthand. That would be, to me, the best way. Now, you could say that the people who lived in India, British people who lived in India back in the 19th century all the way up through the end of World War II, you know, were they really experiencing the Indian culture? No, they kept themselves above it. They kind of set themselves in an exalted position. That was the colonialist way. We are the masters from, you know, the motherland. You know, we're the ones who kind of call the shots around here. You can have your cute little traditions, but we're not going to have anything to do with it. And there's still a lot of that left in this world. People of my parents' generation, for example, would not have seen anything wrong with this Robert Louis Stevenson poem. But, you know, that times change. And people change. We have a mass media now. We have, you know, people, ordinary people are able to travel at a much, much greater rate than has ever been before. Back in my grandparents' generation, my grandparents, I've talked about them before. They were both born in 1904. These are my mother's parents, were both born in 1904. My father's father was born in 1900. So you can imagine, you know, people of, you know, that era were not able to travel freely. It wasn't even so much not being able to, it was not being able to afford to. It was, you know, that sort of international travel, that was something rich people did. And you can still see in the older generations, you know, I mentioned that I've been to Europe. I think I've been to Europe now, what, 12 times? Maybe not that many times, 10 times, I think, that I've been to Europe. And it's like, my God, you know, back in the old days, that would be unthinkable. You'd be like a Rockefeller or something. All right. Baba Dono says, okay, I cheated because I had no idea what the state bird of Illinois was. So her guess is going to be that the people in the tribond are all cardinals. That is absolutely correct. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. And so that was what they have in common. Hello to Tim. I see he's listening out there. Hello, Tim. Tim, my brother down in Florida. Hello, Tim. And I do have to do a shout-out this week because after last week's show, I received an email from a new listener. And we do like to make new listeners feel welcome because Lord knows we need the new listeners. And so we had I had an email from a very nice gentleman in Bristol, in the UK, a guy named Mark. And I guess Mark has been around for a while. He's been listening to Chris Reardon's show, and I guess he's been kind of listening to the various other UK radio shows, so good for him. Hello to Mark. So have a very pleasant email exchange with Mark. And I wish that I could say that my experiences in Bristol have been Better. because I got stuck in Bristol over Christmas and Boxing Day of 2000. And it was really interesting to me. I didn't want to be there. I didn't, I was stuck there for like a 72-hour period where there was nothing open. I remember, and I don't want to be felt sorry for or anything here, is that my Christmas dinner that year was a bag of crisps and an egg sandwich from the BP gas station, because that was the only thing that was open during that 72-hour period in Bristol. And I had no cash to go to anywhere fancier. And there really wasn't anything open anyway. But that was really, really a very strange Christmas and Boxing Day, and indeed Christmas Eve. I arrived in Bristol at 12:30 on Christmas Eve. Midnight 30. Actually Christmas morning. And I didn't have anywhere to stay. And it was just kind of a frustrating thing. That's what happens when the trains get messed up. Anyway, picture of Bristol, it maybe has been colored by that horrible experience. Though I do remember they had an IMAX theater there that was open on Boxing Day. So that actually, I actually went to go see the IMAX theater's 3D movie that they had. It was just sort of a collection of 3D animated shorts and stuff. I think it had a Simpsons one in it and some other stuff. And that was a agreeable diversion for 90 minutes of the day. But maybe, I guess I owe Bristol another visit. I guess I should probably go there on purpose during a normal time of year that I can actually see stuff. Okay, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to move along now. And we're going to move along to Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
Chris Reardon!
Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
I love it.
And this week on Chris Reardon Has Decreed, we get a clip here from last Tuesday's United Kingdom Talk here on United Kingdom Radio. And here is Chris.
Wanted, fairies and elves. There's not enough fairies and elves in this world. Even if you are not one yet, we could always do with a few more fairies.
And that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed from this week. Stay tuned, because Chris often says interesting things like this.
I'm sorry, I don't wear pants. Absolutely not. Let's be honest, there's not enough. It's actually a lot smaller than you would imagine. Although it's probably not as small as your organ. I'd wear my electric train set and have a gusher.
That was Chris Reardon Has Presents for this week. Going to go ahead and take a very, very quick break here and play a trail. And take a sip of coffee here. Oh, incidentally, now, I hadn't actually planned this, but Stacy, who everybody knows here, Stacy White, who does a show here on Sundays, has taken a leave of absence from United Kingdom Radio. We wish Stacy all the best as he is pursuing a medical treatment, which is going to keep him out for... I think he said 4 weeks, and I just wanted to be one of the first out there. I don't want there to be wild speculation or anything. It's this is something it's probably pretty routine, and he didn't specify, but Stacy will not actually be on in his normal schedule for a few weeks, and we do wish Stacy the best. And just, to remind you folks that after his sex change, he will still be able to call him Stacy. I suspect that Stacy is out there listening, so just kidding, Stacy. All right, I'm going to take a very, very quick little break here, and I'll be right back.
Hi, it's Zuko. I'm wiping the slate clean. From here on in, it's a new, edgier Zuko. More politics, more opinions, more debates. Wait, did I say that? Well, maybe just a soupçon of edge. Soupçon, you say? Look it up. What am I, your doormat? And no more kissing up to me for parcels from New York. I don't buy it. Wait, did you say I sound sexy? Well, perhaps something small. Listen Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time.
And that was the lovely Suko in her sexy voice here on United Kingdom Radio. She is on tomorrow, of course, at, I think, it's, oh gosh, you know, it's normally at 5 p.m. UK time on Sunday afternoon, but of course, because of the change of time, it's going to be still at 5 p.m. in the UK, but it's going to be the same. Oh, you know, it's going to not affect her show at all. Never mind. I didn't say anything. What a disorganized show I am today. Cheers to Chris. Chris is enjoying the Chris Reardon Has Decreed bits. You know, they're so much fun to put together. And, you know, Chris has one of those voices, I guess the speech patterns or whatever, very, very easy to kind of play around with. And I'm going to do a whole show that way one day, Chris. And I'm going to kind of upload this entire hour-long show to UnitedKingdomTalk.co.uk that I've put together and see if anybody notices. Anyhow, if anybody would like to call in, the phone number in the UK is 020-3287-1488. That is a local London area number. So if you are in the UK, that is not a premium rate number. That is a local number. Or indeed, if you are listening over the internet, you can Skype in. At United Kingdom Radio is the Skype address, and people can feel free to call in and have a chat, as Lee Mills might say. And in the meantime, I'm going to read an email here. I got another email this week, and this is late, I'm afraid. This comes from somebody called Sam Hain. Not really sure if that's his real name. In fact, I doubt very, very much so that it is really Sam Hain. But I think I do know who it is. I think this is my best friend Paul in Finland. So I if I had gotten this before the last show, I would have read it out on the last show because, of course, the last show was on the 30th, the day before Halloween. But we are going to talk about here. This is a little story called Where Babies Really Come From and the True Story of Halloween. You know, I'm going to get some music for this. Hang on. I don't know if I really have anything appropriate, but we'll try this one. Hang on a second. If it's too loud, somebody let me know if the music is too loud on this. I think it's too loud. Hang on. Okay. Where Babies Come From and the True Origins of Halloween. If you're wondering where babies really come from, they come from the graveyards of the world. Where else? That's why they plant dead people, folks, so they can grow a crop of babies. And Halloween is the traditional night of harvest. Every Halloween night, when the babies crawl their way out of graves and crawl through the graveyards of the world, harvesters go around to collect them. This is a custom which dates back to the Dark Ages, when harvesters traditionally dressed themselves up like devils and demons to prevent themselves from being attacked by the townsfolk, who considered baby harvesting to be an unclean trade, and would routinely beat harvesters with sticks if they caught them. During the long, difficult night of the harvest, spiteful harvesters would often knock on the doors of the superstitious townsfolk demanding food. The frightened townsfolk, thinking the harvesters really were devils and demons, would comply just to be rid of them. After gathering up the babies, the harvesters would clean them up and deliver them to delusional women and tell them some fable about how the stork delivered it. Of course, these days, even delusional women are more sophisticated, so the story has been updated, albeit still just as preposterous. Nowadays, women are told that the babies dropped out of their vagina. Just as ridiculous, seeing as anyone with a bit of common sense can see that a baby just wouldn't fit. But that's why unstable women were chosen. Even though delusional, the women have to be told these fables in order to nurture their maternal instincts. Because if women really knew the truth of where the babies come from, they would never allow these little ghoulkins to suckle leech-like at their breasts, but tell them a happy tale and they become mothers for life. And that's where babies really come from. Signed, your pal, Sam Hain. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed our little tale here. We do have a call coming in. Hello on Skype. And who might this be? Oh, it's Ross.
This is Flossing. It's Flossing Patzelt.
It's Flossing Pazlet. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. How are you, Tom Harris?
Quite well, thank you. Have you been listening in?
For the last 5 minutes, because I just remembered you're on again.
Oh, right. Fantastic.
You don't put any updates on Facebook, love.
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, what time do you put a Facebook
about
thing
an hour
on?
Ago.
You're going to be on?
About an hour ago.
Oh, so you need to put it on about just before the show, about 4 o'clock, to remind people.
But that's when I'm actually like doing all the getting rid of Chris on the stream and getting set up.
Oh, for goodness sake, that only takes 2 seconds, dear.
No, it takes longer than that now, I'm afraid.
No, it don't. You gotta let your listeners know what's going on. Because the problem is, I don't know about you, but if you've got so many Facebook friends like I have, I've got like 302. The problem is, the more Facebook friends you have, the further down the list you are. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
And you're like, and actually looking now, you're about like 4 pages back there.
Yeah. Afraid so.
You need to do one at 4 o'clock, bang on, so we know when you're on.
Yeah. Well, I will try to do better, sir.
Yes, you should. That's your homework for this week, Tom.
Thank you, sir, for giving me homework. So what have you been up to this weekend?
Not a lot. We've had trouble with our... This is a bit boring, but we've had... I think it's called a window recess.
Uh-huh.
Where the window is, you know, and like the kind of windowsill bit. Uh-huh. Well, at the top of our windows, that's all gone a bit mouldy.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then I've pulled back the wallpaper... And there's loads of mouldy plaster.
Yeah.
And so I've had to peel away the plaster. My mate's come around tomorrow to help me re-plaster it. So I don't know if anyone knows how to re-plaster. I mean, I know you are meant to get people in to do, you know, you're meant to get a man to fix that sort of thing, aren't you?
Yeah.
But me and my mate, we're going to be very butch tomorrow. We're going to have a go at re-plastering our windows. Because you can't really make it much worse because there's no plaster there at the minute. Because I've pulled it all away.
Well, Ross, I think the priority should be to find out where the moisture is coming from that's making that mold grow.
Well, I know what it was. We got in a very bad habit of keeping the windows closed all the time, and then obviously at night time, at night time, you know, like when the heating's off, but you're in bed, mm-hmm. you create loads of steam from your. Yeah. Okay. No, you know what I mean, don't you? All the wind, when you wake up in the morning, all the windows steam up, don't they?
Boom, chicka, boom, boom.
Pardon? All the windows steam up.
Right.
And then, that's why it all goes damp on the wallpaper and all that. Uh-huh. But with, you need to get, you need to get like fresh air in the house, don't you, every day?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. That's a bit of a boring story, Ray, but that's what I'm doing. You asked, and that's what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's actually too cold here to have my windows open. I saw my first 2 snowflakes yesterday. Well, not the first snowflakes I've ever seen, but the first 2 of this winter I saw yesterday. Hello, Ross, are you still there? I do think that Ross has hung up. I guarantee you I did not cut him off. Hello to Mark from Bristol, who is listening this morning. Hello, Mark. I don't know what happened there with Ross, but Ross, if you want to call back, that's great. That was very, very strange. Probably those fingers of yours again. I remember you were complaining about that. Or no, that wasn't you. That was somebody else. Don't! Here we go. Here's Ross. Hello again, Ross. Sorry about that.
Did I cut off? Or did
you cut yourself off, I think, sir.
Did I? I know why. I'm charging my phone on my laptop. Hold on. Let me take that off. That's slowing my phone. That's slowing my laptop down for some reason. Because I've got a new phone where I can charge it on the USB bit.
Right.
But that seems to slow my computer down, which is a bit rubbish. Uh-huh. Did you want to carry on talking to me, or have you got another call coming in or whatever?
I don't have another call coming in, but we can chat for a minute anyway, and then I'll give somebody else a chance. But... I have to do today in history yet, and I think there was something else I have to do. Oh, no, I read that already. All right, that's it.
Do you want me to read it out? Do you want to copy and paste it and I'll read it out?
No, I'll take care of it. That's fine. I know. I'm no fun. So I heard your show the other week. Ross, a piece of advice for you.
What?
Confidential.
Yeah.
Don't let Mikey interrupt you.
I'm not going to... Actually, do you know what? I listened back and I've realised how annoying he is. So I'm not going to... I'm going to have a Mikey-free zone this week and see how it goes.
No, I don't think that's necessary. It's, I'm going to add somebody to the call here. Hang on. Let's see if I can figure out. I can never figure out how to do this.
I just had to conference.
I know. That's what I'm trying to do. The thing is, I've got Tim. I'll call you back. All right. Anyway, I will call my brother back.
Oh, is that your brother? Is that?
That's my brother calling. Yeah. That's like very exciting. Yeah, you know, we have about a 2-minute delay here, so I'm not sure if he was trying to call at the, you know, the kind of because of the delay or not. Mark says, hopefully Stacy has a new uniform for after his sex change, a police uniform with boots, Stetson, and a skirt.
Kinky.
Yeah. So,
does that do it for you, Tom? That kind of thing.
It doesn't really. No.
No, me neither.
Stacy is going to be very disappointed if he's trying to get me. That's all I can say.
Oh, a truncheon, isn't he? Has he got? Do they have truncheons in America?
I'm sure they do. Yeah. They they don't call them truncheons. I think they call them billy clubs.
Billy.
But anyway, Ross, I am going to let you go. I'm going to go ahead and call somebody else.
Good evening.
That was Ross Patsalt from the Ross Patsalt Geekcast. You can hear him live on Thursdays at his website, which I believe is the rosspatsaltgeekcast.com, from 7 to 10 p.m. Let's see if Tim is available now. Yeah, it just can't hear any Skype noises. So we'll see. Hello on Skype.
On Skype.
Hello.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Tim, how are you?
I'm doing very fine. How are you?
Fine. You're going to have to turn your stream off, though, because I'm hearing myself coming back to me.
Okay. I just had to turn down the audio.
So everybody... Sorry. I think we have a bit of a delay as well.
As well.
I think we do.
Ah, all right. So what has prompted this wondrous call?
Well, it is that I recall the poem that you recounted earlier in the show, and I remember thinking about it very differently. When I was hearing it, I heard it as a humorous poem making fun of how small children think the world revolves around them.
Okay.
It never occurred to me that adults would have that particular point of view.
Right, but surely an adult wrote the poem.
Well, yes, but it was a poem. It was an amusing poem to be read to children.
Okay. All right. Well, sure. I guess that certainly that's a valid viewpoint. Absolutely. And I think that it is indicative of an earlier age when that was considered normal.
Considered normal.
Well, certainly the poem wouldn't be considered politically correct today, but that's one of the issues I have with political correctness.
Right. I think to some extent we all have problems with political correctness, though.
Most of us, except for the politicians who keep trying to enforce it in various ways.
Well, that's true. Yeah, politicians do that.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem with elections. No matter who you vote for, the government always gets them.
I actually quoted that to somebody on Facebook who doesn't listen to the show. So it sounds like you're calling on a phone.
Yes, I have a Skype box on my computer connected to a phone so that I can make Skype calls from the phone.
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic.
All right. So is that?
Yep. Anyways, that was the reason for my call.
All right. Well, fantastic.
All right.
I do appreciate any calls that I get. So feel free to call back anytime.
Okay. I shall. Have a wonderful show.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All
right, everybody. That was my real-life brother, Tim, who is calling from Florida. And Tim can certainly feel free to call in at any time. And, that's it makes a good point there. And actually, this is a point that Mark made as well. And I was talking about Tommy Boyd last week and that whole discussion. Incidentally, if anybody wants to follow that thread, they can go to Tommy Boyd's blog. And I don't have the address handy. But you can indeed go to his Blogspot site and look for the thread on the pubcast number 3. And see, now there were some messages that I posted initially that were actually censored. He did not actually post them. So they're kind of alluded to in one of the later messages, but you can certainly see that conversation in context. But anyway, I was talking, you know, it bothered me. It still does bother me a little bit, but you know, at least, you know, when confronted with an overwhelming amount of facts to prove somebody wrong, at least, you know, Tommy is man enough to say, okay, yeah, I was wrong about that. And I guess that's really kind of the point. All right. So moving on, if nobody else is going to call for the moment, I'm going to go ahead and do Today in History. All right. So Today in History, in 355, the Emperor Constantius II crowned his cousin Julian Caesar of the Western Empire. Now, that may cause some confusion because a lot of people don't know that there's a difference between the emperor and a Caesar. Because you're used to hearing of Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar. Oh, that's the emperor, isn't it? Well, not in the Roman system. In the Roman system, you would have, you know, people who were called Caesars, and they were kind of like junior kings, and they would usually be in charge of a particular part of the Roman Empire. And in this case, Julian, who is my favorite Roman emperor, and I've talked about him in past shows, actually ruled the western part of the Roman Empire, because at that point, the focus of the Roman Empire was in Constantinople. It wasn't in Rome. So the western part of the empire was not considered nearly as important. Anyway, he became emperor in his own right, incidentally, in at the 360, and was emperor at that point by himself. In 1813, Chilpancingo Congress declared Mexico independent of Spain. Now, this is why I didn't want Ross to read. It's nothing against Ross, but these words might have given him some trouble. In 1860, Abraham Lincoln, Republican from Illinois, was elected the 16th President of the United States. There were a bunch of Today in History entries here that were the results of presidential elections. So I kind of just have this one. This being, I think, a very important one. I get a message coming through here. Mark is asking, do I not think that political correctness has gone too far? I certainly do. Political correctness stuff should not be confused with respect. Yeah, and I'm total agreement with you there, and this is what I'm agreeing with my brother on. There is, I think, a tendency to want to legislate political correctness, but you can avoid that. You don't need to buy in to, we need to force you to think a certain way. Instead of taking the position that you have to legislate this, it's much better to be able to educate people. And unfortunately, and I talked about this on my political correctness show that I did a few weeks ago, unfortunately, there's always going to be a minority of people who rail against political correctness because they want to be racist. They want that to be acceptable. And they think it should be okay to have these horrible stereotypes of people. They don't want to educate themselves. And there's always going to be that aspect of it. So let's not confuse that with, you know, political correctness. For me, where it goes too far is when you actually want to start changing words in the language. That, to me, that's way too far. For example, calling history herstory. That, it sticks in my craw. You know, because words are, you know, the intent of what you're saying is far more important than the words that you use. And when I say the word mankind, I'm not being sexist. I don't mean to exclude women. So I don't use the term person kind. Occasionally I do use the term humankind, but usually that's in context. But so I do think that, yeah, you could definitely go too far, and especially things like herstory or theirstory, which makes absolutely no sense at all. Anyway, back to, because I'm getting distracted a lot today, aren't I? Going back to today in history, in 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution kicked off with the capture of the Winter Palace. 1975 was the first appearance of the seminal punk rock band, the Sex Pistols. I am an antichrist. Sorry. I do love the Sex Pistols. You know, they're so influential, and you'd really think about it, and they had such a tiny, tiny, small body of work. What, they do two albums, and that's it. I mean, that was the end. They were together for all of, what, 3 years? 1979, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini took over in Iran and following the Iranian Revolution. A year before that, 1978, the Shah of Iran had declared martial law. That was when things were really starting to go to pot. And that was today in history. Birthdays for today include playwright Thomas Kidd, who wrote The Spanish Tragedy, which later was kind of ripped off by Shakespeare in his play Hamlet. In 1854, John Philip Sousa, the March King, was born in Washington, D.C. Everyone knows Stars and Stripes Forever. He wrote also, if you're a fan of Monty Python's Flying Circus, he wrote The Liberty Bell March, which is the theme tune for the Monty Python TV show. In 1914, one of my favorite cheesy actors from the 60s, Jonathan Harris, no relation to me, of course, was born. He played Dr. Smith in Lost in Space. Oh, the pain, the pain. In 1946, Sally Field was born in Pasadena, California, who went on to later success in the Gidget series of movies and also in the TV show The Flying Nun. And, of course, she became a much more serious actress later on. 1966, Peter DeLuise from Hollywood, California. He was an actor originally, and now he is doing directing and producing. He started out on 21 Jump Street as the son of the comedian Dom DeLuise. And I think the last thing I saw that he did as an actor, he made an appearance in Stargate SG-1, which is, of course, is a series that he had a lot to do with as a writer and a director. So that's today in history, folks. All right, that being done, I hate that. I forgot the term. Mark Stevens is saying, but Tom, the term blackboard has been changed to whiteboard. Yeah, but also it's changed from being a slate board into a whiteboard. That's true. I actually liked the old chalkboard. Yeah, I didn't really call it a blackboard growing up. I called it a chalkboard. I don't know. Is that a regionalism? Somebody should let me know if that could be a regionalism, because I think that we called it a chalkboard mostly. And does anybody remember, I don't know if they had this in the UK, but I'm sure they must have done, back in grade school when people would be given the job of taking the chalkboard erasers outside and clapping them together and making these huge clouds of chalk dust. And my thought, of course, when I was a kid, is I thought that was a great job. That was the job I looked forward to doing. But I think to some of the kids, it was considered a punishment. And of course, I found out the hard way, it is not acceptable to clap the erasers on the side of the school building. I can remember doing that when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, I was a terror in elementary school, I have to say. Mm-hmm. All right, so it is, we got about 10 minutes left, so fantastic. If anybody else would like to call in, please feel free to do so. But first, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play another trail.
Hello, join me, Sean Richards, on United Kingdom Radio. I'll have some weird and wonderful chit-chat, jokes, funny facts, phone calls and Skype calls, and if you're all good, a competition. No prizes, it's just for fun. So come and join me on United Kingdom Radio every Saturday between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. See you soon.
I love it.
And that was young Sean Riches, not Sean Harris, who is Chris's favorite show here on United Kingdom Radio. You're making me feel bad, Chris. You really are. But, you know, you know how Chris is.
Wanted, fairies and elves.
All right. So moving right along. Yeah, but going back here a little bit. I don't want to confuse the issue of political correctness with the issue of cultural sensitivity, even though they're connected, because they really are connected. But the comment that set me off against kind of on the screed against Tommy to begin with, Tommy Boy, getting back to that, was his comment. He says, you know, the Japanese word for thank you, arigato, came from the Portuguese, and before that, they didn't even have a word for thank you. The implication here, and it's kind of what I kind of was getting on my tits, as Ross would say, is that, you know, anything good in that culture apparently came from the West. He didn't say that. He didn't explicitly say that. But that's sort of those Japanese, they didn't even have a word for thank you before we came. And that's kind of what kind of set me off on that. And Mark made a point that, you know, Tommy Boyd is an entertainer. That is really kind of his goal, is to be an entertainer, that maybe he shouldn't take it so seriously. But, you know, I studied Japanese, you know, formally for a year and then informally for a couple of years after that. I've been to Japan, have experienced some of Japan, and have studied quite extensively Japanese history. And it just, you know, just seemed like a very, very ignorant statement to me. And of course, you know, he's the one who made the claim, and therefore the burden of proof lies on him, and he wasn't willing to do that. So I kind of took it upon myself. I did put it all, kind of take on to myself more than what I should have done. But I got to read some really interesting stuff. And isn't that part of the point of educating yourself, which I go on and on and on about? The importance of educating yourself, certainly culturally, but also in other ways, and taking responsibility for your education, not taking for granted. Now, I want to go back to today in history. The first item that I was reading here was actually wrong on the website, and where we had Constantius II. It was the Roman emperor at the time, making his cousin Julian, you know, the Caesar of the west of the empire. Okay. What they got wrong was they said it was Constantine II, who actually had died 30 years before, or 20 years before. Sorry, I was wrong about that. So, you know, it's like, wait a minute, Constantine II died in 349. Why is this here? This can't be right. So I actually went and looked it up and said, oh, it's Constantius II. I could kind of understand that. But it just goes to show you can't believe everything you read. And even especially something like this, because I noticed that this Today in History, the site, I go to a website and I kind of cut and paste it to a piece of paper, and that's kind of what I read out over the air. I was writing it by hand, and I was having too much trouble reading my own handwriting when the show could. Because I prepare for the show on Friday night, usually. I start doing work on some of the features, like Chris Reardon has decreed, maybe a couple days before that. But because I have to go back and listen to old Chris Reardon shows. Come on! It's like torture. Not really. We love Chris, and we love Chris's show, and he's got he's got 5 years worth of podcast to go that I can draw from, And usually I only draw from like 5 minutes of that show. So I literally would have a lifetime supply, even a lifetime supply of Chris Reardon quotes that I can put in the feature. So I love that. I love that feature. All right. So we are kind of getting up to the end of the show. We did kind of put out one last call here for callers. If anyone would like to phone in, please feel free to do so at this point, because we're kind of going to wrap it up here in a few minutes. I wanted to say hellos to my dad out there. I talked to him the other day, called me up a couple days after my birthday, and we had a nice chat. And he might be out there today, don't know for sure, but I did actually give him all the information to listen, and hopefully he's out there. And once again, thank you to my brother Tim for calling in, and also to Floss Paslett of Narch, home of the world-famous Coleman's Mustard Museum, which is my favorite thing in Norwich. And then I am hoping at some point next year, 2011, to actually be able to come back to the UK again, because I really, really want to come back and do more hiking and just kind of explore Britain more. And I've decided that this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a car and rent a car and actually drive in Britain. Of course, that won't work in London, because London is holy mess. I wonder if Chris Reardon will drive me around. I wonder if he can pick me up in his Toyota Aygo and drive me around Britain. I think that would be fantastic. We could do a podcast. We could do a daily podcast telling everybody what we got up to. And we could go to Norwich and visit with Ross, and indeed with Lee Mills. Or we can go to Grantham and visit with Mikey. And we can go to Bristol and visit with Mark. And yeah, it'd be fantastic. That would be like a universal trip and see all of the... Oh, we could do Newcastle, of course, and see the lovely Mike Cullen up there. Maybe Suko could join us. It could be like one of those old Bob Hope movies. You know, the on the road things with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby and was that Maureen O'Hara? I forget all who was in those old movies. Mark is saying, I once had a guy who told me he loved me. I took it on face value. Mind you, I should have researched it. We've all had those moments. Good Lord, we have all had those moments. Mark told me this fantastic story, and I'm gonna relate it here because we have a couple of minutes left. Mark was telling me a story about he used to have a dog, and the dog's name was I forget what the dog's name was, but he called it BJ. And he used to take his dog for walks out in the woods. And I suppose woods near Bristol, I'm just kind of assuming. And apparently what he did not know was this area of the woods where he would take his dog for a walk was the sort of forest where men look for other men for various purposes. So at one point he was walking his dog out. And dog kind of ran off, and he was calling after, BJ! BJ! And the dog wasn't anywhere around, and he kind of got off the trail thinking the dog was in the woods. BJ! BJ! And at some point, somebody stood up and said, wait your turn, I'm not done yet! That was a bit naughty, but it was a funny story nonetheless. So thank you very, very, very much, Mark, for sending that little story in. And, of course, he said after that he would just call his dog B. So anyhow, it's time to wrap up the show, folks. We got about a minute left. Thanks, everybody, for listening very much. Once again, to Stacy White, our good friend in Kiefer, Oklahoma, feel better, sir. Hope your recovery goes very, very well. Hope it all goes without a hitch, and that you'll be back here at United Kingdom Radio in no time, because we are going to miss Stacy White's show. Stay tuned here for Sean Riches. He's following me here. And We will be back next week at our usual time. We'll be back at 10 a.m., folks. It'll be 10 a.m. here in the States. So stay tuned for Sean Riches here on United Kingdom Radio. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next week.